We are the Morons Who Try to Talk Good. Welcome to our podcast. My name is Caitlin, California.
Odile in Oregon.
And Sam in Spokane.
Woo! I almost forgot how to do an intro for a second there.
Yeah, you kind of locked up there, girl.
It's been a long day. So, Odile's back from the dead.
That I am.
We killed her, and then we felt bad, so we resurrected her.
Yep, resurrection spells. They're the best.
They work.
Speaking of resurrection spells, that's going to come up later. Hey. But that would give things away. Read it in the description or anything. Don't matter.
Yeah, it's not like it's in the description or the title of the episode or anything like that.
No. Caitlin, your titles are pretty, what's the word? They're kind of mystic.
Thank you. I'm the one who usually titles the episodes. Sometimes we do it all together, but usually it's me.
Usually it's Caitlin.
Usually I take a line from something. Usually I take something we say, or it's totally random. It just came from my brain.
What was the last one
that we did? The listeners can look it up. It was...
I don't know, on iTunes, which is where you're obviously listening to this.
Yes. It is.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, so let's start off with everyone's favorite segment, Fangirl News! All right.
I'm too loud. There's a kitten in my lap.
All right, starting off Fangirl News. There's a new Moana trailer. Oh my gosh. This came out today, September 15th.
But I didn't look at it.
It looks really good. It looks
adorable.
It looks adorable. I like how she is a chicken. I think that's...
She is a chicken?
No, one of her, like, sidekicks is a chicken.
Her leg is made of chicken?
Looks hard.
No, her sidekick is a chicken. Her animal sidekick.
Clearly, I cannot hear.
Is a chicken.
Now I'm disappointed. I want her to have a chicken leg.
I think we just found our episode title.
I wanted her to have a chicken leg. Okay, that works.
So, the trailer from Moana came out, and it looks beautiful. Like, it looks so good, and I am just so excited to see it. I've been pumped about this movie for a while. Are you guys excited?
No.
No?
I know. You should just shoot me on the spot.
Yeah, I really should. Why aren't you excited?
I don't know.
Sam, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm not... That's not uncommon. I disappoint many people. Myself, my pets, my computer. I disappoint everyone.
Okay. So, Moana's coming out in November. You can go check out the trailer on YouTube or wherever you check out movie trailers. So, next item of business. We have a couple of little Doctor Who news items, because we really...
Specifically class?
Class.
So, these pieces of news are pretty much both class-related. So, there's been all these, like, class, like, there's a new promo shot that came out saying war is coming, and we were like, okay. And I posted this on Odile's Facebook wall, but I found, like, a trailer for class, but now I haven't been able to, like, find any official postings of that trailer, so I don't even
think it was official.
I don't even think it was official. It might have just been a fan-made trailer. It was really good, and it was super dramatic, and it made me very emotional. But it wasn't, I don't think, because none of the official BBC, like, YouTube channels or the official Doctor Who YouTube channel posted it, and the Doctor Who news site that I like to go on, DoctorWhoTV.co.uk, is my favorite site to go find Doctor Who news. They didn't post it, so I have a feeling this is just a fan trailer that looked really legit, because some other fan pages on Facebook posted it, and that's where I found it. So
yeah, it looks really legit, but I guess not.
Yeah, it looks legit, right? So we still don't know when class is coming out. Oh my gosh, it's supposed to come out in October, and I know what you're thinking, wow, it's the middle of September.
Did you forget what month it was?
Maybe.
Yes, for a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a little bit. But it's supposed to be coming out next month, and we don't even have an official trailer or a release date, and that's just, like, my brain is like, what? So, who knows what's going on there, but we'll post that promo shot on Twitter. It's just been very mysterious. And then the next piece of news is about Torchwood. So John Barrowman recently in an interview said that there are some people that seem to be blocking the potential return of Torchwood. This also kind of goes back to what we were talking about last week about how a lot of fans feel like Class is taking over the place of Torchwood, and it means that Torchwood will never come back on TV. So John Barrowman, who plays Captain Jack Harkness, is saying that the powers that be are kind of the ones that are blocking it, and he says, well, maybe when we get a new showrunner, Torchwood will be able to come back. So Moffat, yeah, he, like, shots fired at Moffat, and then Moffat comes back and says, hey, wait a minute, like, I would love Torchwood to come back. I love Torchwood. It really has nothing to do with me. I'm not the one blocking Torchwood. I'm not the one doing this. I would love Torchwood to come back just like everyone else. Like, John Barrowman needs to stop. And he said that he's been feeling like people have been, like, attacking him, I guess. And he, like a lot of fans. Moffat said that fans have been, like, going after him because of what John Barrowman said about Torchwood not being able to come back. Basically, John Barrowman implied that it was Moffat's fault. And then Moffat shoots back saying, hey, I'm not doing it. It wasn't me. Talk to the people at BBC. I'm not the one who orders TV shows. Moffat said, like, I have nothing to do with...
A lot of people get confused about that. Like, they go after people. Like, why aren't you bringing it back? It's like, I have no say in this.
Yeah. That's what Moffat said. He was like, I really have no say in Torchwood coming back, just like John Barrowman has nothing to say about, like, Sherlock. It's, like, almost the same thing. Like, John Barrowman can't cancel Sherlock, just like how I can't bring back Torchwood. So that was a little bit of drama that happened today, which I thought was interesting.
Doctor Who drama.
Doctor Who drama. They've been extra salty, as I put in our show notes.
Extra salty.
Alright. Next item. Have you guys seen American Horror Story came back? Do you guys watch American Horror Story?
I missed the first episode. I'm so sad.
Watched the first season, then my roommate and I decided to watch the second one. First episode, nope. We were done. No more. We're scaredy cats.
Yeah. Well, the thing about American Horror Story is the first season was like they did their thing and it was great. And then the second season was, let's see how much we can push TV. Mm-hmm. Let's see how creepy we can make it, how messed up, how many extremes we can take it to. And they went to every single extreme. And then third season they were like, okay, we tried that. We're gonna go back. That's basically how I saw it. And then, yeah, fourth season was good. Still kind of creepy. I mean, each thing brings in a new creep factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to watch last season, season 5, which was the hotel. And the first season was just, like, too weird and just, like, too creepy for me. But my sister really likes the show. So I noticed it was on last night and I was like, okay, I'll just watch it. And I actually really enjoyed the first episode of season 6. I think it's interesting, and I really have not been following American Horror Story, so I didn't realize that they didn't even release what season 6's theme was going to be.
Yeah, they didn't. And everyone's been speculating.
Yeah.
I was totally into the theory of Antichrist. That seemed like it was going to be a really fun one for me.
Well, did you hear what it is?
Yeah, it's the Roanoke.
Yeah, it's like my Roanoke nightmare. So basically, spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the first episode yet, but it's all over the internet, so I'm sure you've heard.
Yeah, and there's articles that tell you every single thing that happened in the episode.
So basically,
which I unfortunately fell prey to one because I thought that it was just going to show like the beginning of it, and then that was not it, and that was very sad because I ruined it.
Yeah, so they're doing like this mockumentary kind of a thing. Where it's like those, I'm kind of comparing it to like those TLC shows, like There Was a Monster Inside of Me, or like Celebrity Ghost Encounters kind of a thing, where there's one person narrating what happened, saying like, oh yeah, this thing happened to me, and then there's reenactments. Mm-hmm. Also what they do in like Untold Stories of the ER, where they have like the actual person that's saying like, oh yeah, you know, this thing happened, and then the reenactment, so it's set up, this season is set up like that, so it's this couple who moves to this creepy house. And so there's two sets of actors playing each person. I thought it was really interesting. At first, I was a little bit confused because I was like, wait a minute, those aren't the same actresses? And then I was like, oh, I see where they're going with this. This is kind of cool.
Yeah. Which I think is almost, like, really interesting. And yeah. It's an interesting way to, like, almost, I wouldn't say spoof other TV shows that do it, but, like, play on that. And
yeah. I can't,
kind of think, like, how real can we make it seem like this could have actually happened?
I really can't think of any other TV show that has, like, done that in a scripted way to tell a story using that format. It's really interesting, and I think I am going to actually watch this season and follow it, like, as it's going, because I'm really interested in just the way the stories are being told. And it didn't seem super scary from the first episode. There were definitely some creepy moments, but it wasn't as creepy as other opening episodes to previous seasons of American Horror Story, so.
Watch yourself for a crazy
start. Yeah, but that just means that it's probably gonna get creepier.
Maybe.
It's like, it makes sense in terms of, like, if they're trying to tell it as a story, like,
yeah.
You don't want the creepiest thing to happen right away.
Yeah, that's true, and it's from the perspective of the people that are, like, living... that are, like, yeah, living in the house, so. Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to season 6.
Can't wait.
Odile, you're going to be watching it?
Yes, I will be watching it. Mostly on Hulu when it comes out, but...
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to be doing. I just so happened to be able to watch it live last night. But...
Yeah, I'm going to try to keep a hold on it, but we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts before I, like, get left in the room.
Oh, yeah. No. We'll see how long it lasts before I get too scared and can't watch it. It'll be like episode 2. I'll be like, nope.
It'll be like a what's it, like a horse race kind of betting style system. People start
what
playing.
What episode is Caitlin gonna give up on?
Yep. All right, Sam. Sam, you had some fangirl news.
I had a fangirl news. It's a fangirl news that really ticked off my roommate and I. Star Trek is coming out with a new TV series, and it was first said it was going to air, the first episode was going to air January of 2017, so it was going to be like beginning of the new year, new Star Trek season, or new series as well. They just pushed it to May.
Aww.
I'm really upset because I was looking forward to starting my, you know, like my final semester of senior year, and I watch Star Trek, and now I can start watching it, you know, when my school career is over, and I'm upset.
Aww.
I'm sad.
Why did they push it back? Was it, like, money issues, or?
Creative issue. I think they said they wanted some more time to be able to produce something that they were going to be proud of, and in that regard, I think one of the bigger reasons why this is coming out is, well, one, the popularity of the newer movies, and this past year, and a week and a half ago, was the 50th anniversary of Star Trek as a whole. I think they kind of wanted to do, like, start another 50 years of, like, kind of, because obviously it was a television series to start off with. I think they've been having a lot of success with the films. I think they want to bring it back to where it started. I think they just want to go back to television. And it allows for the writers to be able to, you know, carry on more crazy story arcs and
just
test it. Because I think what they said that they're doing is the main character isn't going to be the captain like in all the other shows. I think it's going to be the first officer. And it's going to be a bunch of people on the ship. And it's more about the crew. I think like the, obviously one of the bridge crew. But I think it's going to be more about the interactions between the people on the ship. A little bit more rather than just everything that's going on the bridge, but we'll see.
That's interesting.
I think that sounds really cool. That
they're gonna change it up.
I'm looking forward to it, but I have to wait a lot longer than I expected.
Well, maybe it'll probably be a lot better though. It like there has to be a reason.
And yeah, no, they said that they're pushing it for artistic and like more time, so they can come up with some more stuff. But I'm so sad.
Aww.
That's my fangirl news.
Aw, sad fangirl news.
Sad fangirl news.
It's okay, not all fangirl news has to be happy news.
I know.
Odile, did you have any news you wanted to add?
I'm trying to think if I've seen anything recently. Other than American Horror Story coming out, that was probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But I was so sad that I missed last night. But just waiting for it to come out and seeing the full thing. No, there's nothing really else I've seen. No new, like, no nothing new from Harry Potter.
Yeah, the fan news has been kind of slow.
Kind of slow in terms of, yeah. I mean, other than just waiting for Magical Beast, and I think that comes out this November.
Yeah.
Waiting for that to come out and seeing that. I can't wait to see that. But I think, the most recent thing I've read about Harry Potter was how much they ripped J.K. Rowling to shreds over Hermione's character in The Cursed Child.
Oh.
Hi.
Because to them, she becomes this, like, so she's completely almost dependent on Ron, and that they make it seem like if she was never married to Ron in the first place, she would just be a bitter old shrew, and, like, she wouldn't be happy, she would be mean, she'd be awful, and the only way she could be happy is if she was with Ron.
Weird.
And so everyone was kind of really angry about that because it's Hermione. She would be fine by herself.
Yeah.
Basically, like, she might not be absolutely
happy.
Not
man.
She's a strong, independent woman.
Yeah.
Don't need a man.
People were very mad that they portrayed her in that way.
I
think that's the most recent thing I've seen from them.
I could see that why people would be really upset.
Jeez.
All right, Sam, would you like to introduce our topic?
OMG, yes. And to discuss this topic, we have someone, but at the moment she just stepped away from the computer. But I will introduce her. She was on, I think, like our second or third episode.
Yeah, pretty early on.
Yeah.
She was on our sci-fi episode.
She's like the only guest we've had on.
Yeah.
No, we had one.
Oh,
she's guest. Let me introduce.
Are we at
Trevisa?
Nope.
She's back, and this time we are not talking about sci-fi. Even though she is coming back for a Star Trek episode, which you guys we need to do because the 50th anniversary was last week.
We'll
do it soon. I and I will do an episode.
I know the picture's rather.
Anyway, we are talking about RPGs. And for those who don't know what RPGs are, they are role-playing games. The reason why we say RPGs is, one, it's shorter, and two, it sounds a lot cooler than role-playing.
Sounds like...
Yeah, so RPGs come in many forms. They're video game RPGs, tabletop RPGs, pen and paper basic RPGs, but...
LARPing.
LARPing? Yes, I...
How much you love to LARP? I do LARP.
She does not LARP. And then not only like for the tabletop variety, there's also a very large range of them. I mean, you got the basic D20 like Dungeons and Dragons, D6 Pathfinder, and then Caitlin, you just finished a dice one, but it's not D20 based. It is
Fate dice.
And then we also have, which we'll get into in a second, there's also games like Everyone is John, which does not even need dice. You just play it with 10 random things that you find around the room. And then you also have Dread, which is played with a Jenga tower. There's so many different types. So we're going to talk about our experiences with RPGs. Odile, have you played any? Really?
Not really. I mean, no, I can't say that I really have.
So we can also do answer some questions about RPGs. I know Caitlin and Odile, I have one written for them that they hadn't started this summer because, you know,
Because yeah. things happened.
We're gonna figure out how to do that one digitally, I think, right?
Yeah, I know a website for us to do it. And then I'm also gonna talk with little Miss Teresa over here to talk about her experiences with RPGs and the game that I'm currently running for them, which you're very excited about. So let's get right on into it.
Yeah.
What are the RPGs that you've played?
Who are we starting with? Me?
I don't know. It's free-for-all.
Okay. Well, I've only played Dresden, but I guess I've technically also played some online stuff before, like the Disney multiplayer game I like to play.
That stupid game.
My VMK is technically an RPG, because you become a different person online and you play as them, so that's technically an RPG. So... those are pretty much the only, and building characters, like, Sam's been trying to kind of run this campaign for Odile and I since, like, winter break, and so we've built-
She's trying so hard.
She's trying. We've built the characters, so I guess I have a lot more experience building characters than I do actually playing at this point, but I did just complete the Dresden Files RPG. We completed a whole campaign. It was a shorter campaign, I guess, because we played it, like, once a week. For, like, 3 months. So, it was
a pretty good game.
Okay. Yeah. So it was, like, a decent... Okay, that's good to know. So it was, like, a decent-sized campaign.
Sorry, I'm picking up soda. There we go.
So I just completed that. So those are kind of my experiences so far in RPGs, and I really want to play more. I do. Very much so. I enjoy them.
You, Teresa, what have you played?
D&D.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, and Everyone is John.
Everyone is John is mucho fun. We will explain how Everyone is John works. I've played all the ones that we've mentioned, as well as online. I play World of Warcraft. And pretty much Dragon Age or the Dragon Age series on console. Basically an RPG. Same for Skyrim. Skyrim. The Rim of Scry. Mass Effect. Not fantasy-based. No, these are a lot of fantasy-based RPGs, but, yeah. I don't know, I feel like between all of us, the one that's probably played the most is me.
Wow, really?
Well, that's a surprise, isn't it? Let me be the inquisitive one for everyone, and we'll get the conversations going. What is your favorite part? Or for you, Odile, what are you looking forward to for, about RPGs? Like, what about them makes it fun?
That's a good question.
Yeah, like, what are you looking forward to? Or what is something that, like, you've heard of that you want to experience?
I think it's just fun to create a character and have them do, like, it's almost an extension of yourself, but even if, like, it's who you want, like, who you wish you could be. And so, like, if that's, like, being an elf or a nymph or, like, whatever, like, it's just, like, there's something so, I don't know, satisfying about, like, becoming something you want to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, becoming someone else.
What about either of you, Caitlin, Teresa? Who wants to go first?
I'll go. I really... a part of me loves and hates character building because it can just take so long.
That's the best part.
But it's also, yeah, it's really fun to kind of figure out, like, who your character's gonna be, what's their backstory, like, what are their powers. It takes a long time, so that the part of me that's really impatient and just wants to start playing doesn't like that part. But, like, the creative part of me who likes relationships and likes... you know, creating characters thinks it's fun. Like, when Odile and I were figuring out, like, how did our characters know each other for this D&D campaign? It, like, took us, like, a good, like, hour to figure out, like, okay, like, how did our two characters, who are very different, meet? So I think that part's really fun, and I do enjoy the storytelling aspects of, like, how is this story gonna move forward? Like, here's a problem, what are we going to do as a team to solve this problem or defeat this thing or break into this person's house, you know, whatever your character's doing. I think the cooperation and collaboration is a fun aspect.
That's just me right on my resume. That was pretty good. It was deep. So deep, we can't even see it. How about you? I like again, the character aspect. You get to be someone who maybe is completely the exact opposite of who you are in real life. It forces you to, I guess, try to understand a different personality than your own. And sometimes you might, in a certain situation, you might do one thing, but your character will do something completely opposite. And then there's also the selfish part of me. I like that it gives me ideas for drawings. Because I like to draw a lot, but I'm not good at the idea part. So if there's already a really detailed description of a character, it's super convenient to just, oh, okay, so someone's a dwarf. They look like this. They're this height. They have these color eyes. This is their armor. Boom. There you go. Subject matter. It's great. Pretty easy. So I like that part as well. Awesome.
What is something that, like, you're not a huge fan of? Like, and depending on what RPG you play.
Like, rules. Oops, not supposed to curse.
No. Yeah, no, I will say I fully agree. Like you roll really, really well for everything, like, in regards to social situations. Oh, yeah, I could tell if that guy's lying, but then when you get into a fight, it's like, wow, I rolled 6 threes in a row. This is awesome.
Yeah, you charge at the guy. And went into the other room. Like,
yeah, like, you roll that. Oh my gosh, the number of natural ones and just really, really bad rolls I roll while fighting is not okay with me.
So angry.
It is not okay. Another thing that's hard that I find is metagaming. For those who don't know what metagaming is, it's basically when you take information that you know outside of the game and decide to use it inside of the game for your character. Who would not know those things? Metagaming is so hard to not do. Especially when someone says, oh, I'm going to lie and say this, and then we have to roll to see if we know that he's lying. And if we fail, like, I know, but she doesn't know. And just trying to act like I have no idea of the situation and trying to, like, have her do actions that would, you know, be like, yeah, I really trust you, even though I know you stole half the stuff out of my backpack. Yeah, like, really, really frustrating. I found that hard.
That was a very specific example. Has that happened to you?
What? Not, yes.
Most definitely.
Or also, I've done it to other people, which is why, like, I'm really, really big about, like, sending secret notes to your GM or DM, like, because I don't want everyone to know about it. But then they just get all weirded out when they just see me, like, pass a post-it note across the table. They're like, what's that for? Nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about it. Keep playing. And then they get really suspicious of me. But it works.
Yeah, I could see how that could be really frustrating.
Yeah. How about you? Like, did you encounter anything in your game that was just frustrating?
I would say it can be a little frustrating when it's, like, not your turn. And other people are just taking forever to roll. Or, you know what I mean? Or, like, usually my character's actions, because my character in the game we were just playing could transform into a rabbit. So my character was used to, not usually to fight, because obviously I'm a rabbit, like, I can't really fight. So I was used to mostly get intel and spy on different people and break into places. I broke into a lot of buildings. So, like, that was what I did. So I would, like, I would just roll to see if I succeeded in breaking into a building. Like, I'd be like, okay, I'm jumping through this window. Did I succeed? Did I actually jump through the window or not? Like, my rolls were pretty simple, but other people, like, one of the girls we were playing with, she was a pyromancer, and her power was fireballs, basically. And she had to do all these kind of more complicated roles on, like, okay, did the fireball make it? Did it not? Did this happen? Did the person die? Did they survive? How much hit? A lot of people were big fighters, so they got to roll a lot more. And there's more into, like, the combat aspect, when I was more on, like, the intelligence spying part. So it can be a little frustrating when, like, your character isn't a fighter and everybody else is fighting.
Yeah, I know how that feels.
Yeah, I think was probably, like, the most frustrating part, at least for this specific campaign, Like, okay, so having to sit out so much.
Your specific campaign. Let's talk a little bit more about specific games that we've played. Do we have any funny stories? Because I know you mentioned right before that you had some funny stories.
Yes.
You said you had one specific. I really want to hear this. So
yeah.
Tell us about it.
Tell us. Okay, so this happened during our boss battle on our last day playing the game, the last day of the campaign. And we were basically, our characters are at this warehouse. So if you don't know, I've talked about it before, but Dresden takes place in like the real world. So you use the environment around you, and you use buildings that you know and places that you know that exist in real life, and kind of create supernatural elements and supernatural or fantasy elements to it that kind of explain why those things are weird. So there's this one building, and we are trying to destroy the chancellor of my school, was the evil villain of, because she was found to, the chancellor of my school recently resigned because she embezzled something, some stuff, and was on a couple of legal boards and was taking all this money from textbook companies, so I won't go into that, but she wasn't the best, and the time we were starting this campaign, everyone was petitioning to get her fired, so she was the evil mastermind, the evil villain in our campaign. So the boss battle was trying to defeat her, and one of the things that happened was we were in this warehouse, and on top of the warehouse was this guy on drums that was controlling an army of zombies that were going after all of my friends in the campaign. So because I'm a were-rabbit, I was able to crawl up some air vents, of course, and ended up on the roof. And I needed to be able to basically kill this guy, and we all kind of decided together that I needed to push him off the roof. So, I, as a rabbit, am not very strong, obviously. I'm a rabbit. I'm not, like, a giant rabbit. I'm, like, a little rabbit. So, I, as a human, so basically this is what happened. I had to roll for this, and I rolled, I had a really high roll, so I was able to, as a rabbit, start running, and then jump, and mid-jump, transform into a human, and just, like, pummel this guy off the building, and it was kind of awesome and hilarious, and we were all just, like, we were all just, like, in hysterics as I'm, like, narrating this is happening. Like, I'm running, I'm jumping, and I'm a human, and he falls. So, he died. So, that's how my character, as a rabbit, killed someone. And then she had a lot of guilt.
So much guilt.
So much guilt. I had to, that's why I couldn't do much more in the boss battle, because my character had to, and I was feeling real guilty.
PTSD, yo. PTSD.
Yep.
Actually, Teresa, you had a really, really good first encounter of anything you've ever done.
You mean fighting-wise?
No. I just mean, like human interaction here.
Yes.
Like,
it worked very well.
Please describe.
Are we talking about the dead bodies one?
Talk about the dead bodies.
Okay.
See? Okay. A little background.
The dead bodies one?
I'm her DM. So this was just... this was just hilarious. Like, for the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, I cannot believe this worked. So you want to tell how it worked?
Basically, my character and this other character were in a bar. I got shot in the back with a crossbow mm-hmm. arrow and started a fight, and then my companion decapitated both the guys that attacked us. And then we were like, well, what do we do with the bodies? So I started dragging the heads. He's a dwarf, so I took the bodies. He dragged the heads because he's a dwarf and small. And we got outside, and we rolled to see if we ran into someone.
Stealth checks.
We weren't stealthy. We ran into a couple of guards, and they asked us what we were doing with the bodies. And my character is a bard, so she's extremely charismatic. And I was basically able to flirt my way out of dealing with the dead bodies, and the guards ended up tossing the bodies for us.
Oh my gosh.
I'm pinching the bridge of my nose going, how is this working? I don't understand.
See, I rolled really well on that, but I don't roll well for fighting.
Yeah, no, that was just the best. That was so great.
I also got over 100 gold worth of items by flirting again.
Yeah, for free.
For free.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I'm going to deal with every situation now.
Yeah, you're just going to, like, your way. So now I have to prepare for you to flirt with every character I throw at you.
Every character.
Every character.
Horse. Go for it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Flirt with the horse. See if it'll work.
Watch it work.
Watch it work. For sure. So I will tell one quick little story. This was like a year and a half ago. We had just started this campaign. My character was a rogue, super stealthy. And the way I wrote her backstory was like she just did not really talk to anyone ever.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever she'd do something, it'd be super impulsive. So I rolled my perception check and I noticed this guy, this tower like to her left or something. This guy just like climbed up the side of this building and jumped in one of the windows. And I was the only one that saw it. So my character decided, I'm not going to tell anyone that I saw someone. I'm just going to go. And she runs at the wall, and she had really high climbs. I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy. I rolled a natural one. So my DM goes, yeah, so you run face first into the wall and are knocked unconscious immediately. Like, the first thing my character ever does is just run into a wall.
Good job, Sam.
Anytime I'd roll a natural one or if I just didn't do really well in any of my rolls, like the other characters would come up around me and go, oh, it's okay, sorry. She might have minor brain damage. She did run face first into a wall about a week ago. So, but that was what my character was plagued with for an entire campaign.
So there's
one more thing I wanted to go into. This is kind of fun. I mentioned that there are a lot of different RPGs that have different systems. So, Caitlin, can you explain fate dice?
Yeah, so fate dice, you usually use them in sets of four. They look like regular, like, D6 dice, right? That's, yeah, six.
Yeah, D6.
Six sided.
You got it. I'm Woo! So proud.
Word. And yeah. It has each, but instead of there being, like, numbers on each side, there's a minus side on a minus sign on one side, and then on the other side is another minus sign, and then there's a plus sign and another plus sign, and then two sides are empty. So basically, so you usually roll them. You roll them all four dice at a time, and they'll like cancel each other out. So basically, it'll work like plus four, so it's basically like plus four, plus two, or you can have negative four. So like you could roll a plus, a plus, and a minus, and nothing. And nothing is modified. Like you just have to go with your natural skill, or like if you're noticing to see if someone notices you. If you're like rolling to see if someone notices you, and you would roll something like that where it's like completely neutral, then you would walk in the other direction or something like that. So there, it's pretty simple because it's four dice and they all look the same. And it's not as complicated as D&D where you have like all these different, you know, dice that you have to use and remember what circumstance you use this certain dice in. So yeah, and you can use fate dice to play other things.
Yeah, I've heard of other people using fate dice for different games.
Yeah, they're really cool.
The other one that's really fun, everyone is John. I said you just use 10 of whatever you have. That game works like, I ran that game for last year. It just ended in lots of people being scalped. So the way the game works is everyone is playing as the same guy named John, but everyone's fighting to be in control of John at the time. So people will bet the things. Everyone has 10 of something. People will bet a number of the things that a certain number of the 10 to try to take control. So someone's in complete control of John, doing whatever the heck they want, but then other people can spend their things to be able to do really minor actions. So let's say like Teresa is in charge of John, and Teresa like punches some guy in the face and charges out the door. But my personality for John is really compulsive, like has like super OCD and likes to like make sure if I see a light switch, I have to like touch it a whole bunch of times. So Teresa's like, yeah, I go bolting out the door. I would spend a chip and go, and you see the light switch and you flick it on and off 16 times and then you leave. So like you can like use things to minorly change what's going on, but you can't take full control. And basically it just ends in madness because everyone's personalities are extremely destructive and they have really, really weird wants and desires.
What did yours want?
I wanted to pick my boogers. I wanted to find a 1x2 Lego, and then I wanted to do something else. I don't remember. You have a minor desire, like a middle desire, and then your big main goal.
Oh, okay.
Someone's what, like, completely took it out of Zoolander, could not turn left. Really wanted to kill the Prime Minister of Malaysia.
Licking middle fingers.
Licking people's fingers. And then one of our other friends was like, she just really wanted to scalp people and then take children. So for the first place she went to was, of course, Chuck E. Cheese.
Of course.
Stole candy, scalped the children. She also wanted to blow up a Best Buy, so she, like, built a pipe bomb, went to Best Buy, but she, like, didn't set the fuse right, so it blew up on her way out of the building. Wakes up in a hospital. Picks her nose and then scalps three of the doctors. Like, she was just mad.
So, do you choose these major and minor goals, or are they, like, random?
No, the players can choose them, but they have to let me know what they are.
Okay.
But they don't tell any of the other personalities what's going on.
Oh, okay.
So, it's like, the only reason why I'm there is to basically just kind of say what's happening, but then I also kind of moderate any outside stuff. So, I'll be like, yeah, John wakes up really early in the morning, and... Or he's woken up at the sound of someone knocking on the door. He opens the door and he sees, like, 14 police officers, and then people will then fight for control.
Got it.
And that's when just, yeah. The first game we ran was super shaky. I want to do it again, but it was just kind of nuts.
Mm-hmm. It was funny, though.
It's pretty fun. RPGs, yo. RPGs. The pugs. Hopefully we can get your guys' one started.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I know you really, really, really want to start ours, right, Jerza?
Please, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah, we're going to play tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Can I quote you on that?
Yeah, you can quote me on that. We'll play tomorrow. Like, oh my gosh, like, they had left to do something yesterday. And I'm like, ooh, I'll draw out their battle map. And they come home, and I'm not done yet. I flip it over, like, hey, you guys, what's up? Trying to hide my map. Dude, it's beautiful. There's colors. It's wonderful.
Ooh.
Glorious.
Oh, that's a little too much information you gave me there, Sam.
Yeah, color. Really going to tell you a lot about what's going on.
I know a lot about it now.
Yeah, you can see it.
I already know the whole plan.
Yep, whole layout, just by telling you colors.
Yes.
For sure.
All right, we should probably move on to our recommendations.
Yes.
Sam, why don't you go first?
Sam gets to go first, yay!
Yay!
I decided to read this because I watch a show, and I'm going to also end up saying that the show needs to be recommended. From a show called Signal Boost. I'll just say Signal Boost right now. Signal Boost is a show that's on Geek & Sundry that airs every Tuesday. And for four episodes, a host is picked, and they talk about three of their favorite things for 4 weeks. So they totally end up telling you 12 stuff. But it's like different geeky things that people are really, really into. A new host just started this week, Damien Poitier. I guess he's a stunt double and he's an actor. So he's starting his run, and it's the stuff that everyone or all these people tell you is just like really interesting things that you had never heard of before, or things that like, if you have heard before, you're like, yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's just that the stuff that they introduce you to kind of broadens your knowledge of all things geeky. So yeah, it's on Tuesdays, Geek & Sundry. You can go find it on their website and on their YouTube channel.
Cool.
That's fun. And I will boost some stuff that other people have boosted, but yeah, Signal Boost.
Cool.
Jesus, take the wheel. Someone else take the wheel.
Did I recommend Simply Nail Logical last week? I think I did. Did I?
Ooh, I love her.
Oh my gosh, so that's basically what I've been watching. It's Simply Nail Logical.
Dude? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I won't say it anymore, but that was what I was going to recommend, but I already did it. I am also going to...
That's like me recommending The Last of Us.
Oh my gosh, every episode.
I try to stick it in.
I would like to... I can't think of anything. Oh, deal.
I thought you wrote this down.
No.
I would like to recommend Sorted Food.
Sorted Food.
I met them. They're so nice.
I know you met them, and I'm so jealous that I finally figured out what they were doing in San Francisco. Uh-huh. Did you watch their most recent episodes?
No.
Some fan you are, Sam.
One of their,
shut up, Caitlin.
Well, so it was one of their challenges where like they have to buy everything with the app, the Visa app,
yeah,
on their Androids. And so it was like some girl in San Francisco was having a birthday, and so they like went there to cook her a cake. And so they like jumped on a plane and they like bought plane tickets and all that kind of stuff with it. And then they also were at the off the grid because they were doing a food battle where they were doing who could sell the most of their product.
I did see that episode because I
hence why he's in the snow cones. It was so good. Anyways, they're really funny. I love all of their food battles. I love hilarious. They're all kind of married now. It makes me sad. Although Ben and I don't think isn't. I like Ben. But yeah, Sorted Food. I love them. They're funny. They make really good food that I want to eat and all fun stuff.
I remembered something I was going to regret. So it's also a YouTube channel and Odile's going to make fun of me. But so I really like watching the Broadway.com vlogs on on YouTube. And the one that I was really, really into for a really long time was the one from Matilda. It was called Looks Not Books with Leslie Margarita, and she played Mrs. Wormwood, and, which is like a very just outlandish, really out there character. And she's like that as a person too. She's like fabulous and everything. And so she left the show like exactly a year ago. And then she was actually doing Hunchback, which was what I recommend, like, all the time, because the soundtrack is so good. And if you have not listened to the Hunchback of Notre Dame Broadway album, go do it right now. But, so she was actually doing that in Sacramento, and then found out that Matilda is leaving Broadway in January. And they asked her, because Mrs. Wormwood, the one who's replaced her, just left. And they're like, hey, do you want to, like, come back to Matilda and finish it off? And she was like, yeah. So she quit Hunchback and just, like, flew to New York and is back in Matilda. So she's doing her vlogs again on Broadway.com. And it just,
oh, wow,
it just made me so happy when I saw it pop up in my subscription feed, because she is just hilarious. And I am excited to continue watching them. So Looks Not Books from the Broadway.com YouTube channel. It's also on their website. Check it out. She's hilarious. And it'll make you happy.
Caitlin, sorry. You want to say something,
Chuck? I don't have a life recently.
What about that game you've been playing?
Oh, Stardew Valley?
Yeah. Talk about that.
It's basically, it's like Harvest Moon, almost exactly like Harvest Moon, but it took everything that was awful about Harvest Moon and either changed it or got rid of it. I don't know if anyone's played Harvest Moon before, but the whole premise is you're a farmer, and you plant crops, you raise animals, you can get married, you can go into a mine. There's also these, like, harvest sprites and stuff like that. That's in the original Harvest Moon. The thing is, whenever you do an action, it takes away some of your energy, and if you faint, the mayor comes, takes some of your money and some of your items that are in your backpack and drops you off at your house. So it really sucks if you faint. And you kind of get a gauge for what your energy level is like, because your character will start, like, breathing heavily or something, like, and eventually he turns green and kind of, like, wiggles a bit. That's when you're about to pass out, but don't pass out yet, so you should probably go home. But what sucked is that, you know, you'd be playing, so, like, you think, like, oh, I can push one more action. No, you faint, and then everything is horrible after that. But in Stardew Valley, what they did, so there's a meter on the side, and then you can watch it as it gradually goes down throughout the day, and it gives you a warning that says you're feeling exhausted or something like that, or you're about to pass out. They got rid of the harvest sprites, and they replaced it with fighting. So there's monsters that you can go and fight, which is pretty cool. It's all in 8-bit style, too, so it's pretty cute. It's way easier to get married, too. In Harvest Moon, you had to find a freaking feather. You had to go to the bottom of the mine to find this special feather to get married. Now you just have to wait for a rainy day and you go and you buy a necklace from this random old pirate guy that shows up. when you go in the mines, there are mines in Harvest Moon too, but what would happen if you went in You could go down like 20 levels, but if you left the mine, it would save your progress. So you'd have to start from the beginning every single time you entered the mine. So getting to the bottom was nearly impossible. Whereas in this game, there's you unlock an elevator after a certain number of levels, and then the elevator shows up every 5 levels in the mine. So it's a lot easier to make progress. Like, I was able to get to the bottom of the mine in like 1 season, so which is pretty quick. It's a lot of fun. It's really relaxing and stupid. I like it. Highly recommend it. It's on Steam for like $10. Mac and PC.
IGN, 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Yeah, IGN, 10 out of 10. Would play again.
We'll play again.
Yeah.
That sounds really cool. I'm going to have to go check that out.
It's really fun.
Now she's going to get sucked into a black hole of that too, but it's going to be great.
It's the best kind of... We already have like 60 hours logged on it.
Yeah.
And when you get a cat or a dog, whichever one you want. Oh, and you can grow shrooms.
Oh my gosh. We know how Sam feels about shrooms.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good at growing those things. what do I have to bring up?
Okay.
It's a comic book. It's called The 5 Ghosts of Fabian Gray. It was recommended on that show. I read them last night because I got a Comixology subscription. OMG, he's so good. You should read it. Cool. 5 Ghosts of Fabian Gray. Basically, the whole point of it is this guy, in this accident, ends up with something called like a dream stone, shards of a dream stone, like lodged like in his heart or something. And the dream stone lets him access these 5 different like people, the spirits of these people that pretty much give him power. So there's a samurai. There's a guy who's like a detective like Sherlock Holmes. There's like a vampire. I know this. Okay, so it's Indiana Jones. Pretty much, okay, so I'm just going to say the way they pretty much are. Indiana Jones, Sherlock Holmes, samurai, vampire, and somebody else. Shoot, I can't remember who it is. I know I'm a disgrace, but you should definitely read it. It's really, really good.
Cool.
Mucho gusto.
Next. I have like nothing else to recommend. Sorry.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't
been doing much, just watching a lot of YouTube.
Yep.
We have a really cool game here. Teresa just got it. It's called Bang.
Oh, I love that game. I've played it.
Yeah, house rule. Only talk in Southern accent. Yep. I got one. I actually have one last one that we can do.
Okay.
I don't think I have suggested it yet. So I have a TV show season, box season thing that I got on the 75th anniversary of Batman.
Nice.
It is Batman, the 1960s TV show with Adam West and Burt Ward.
Adam West.
So Teresa had never seen it before, so I brought up my box set to school. We have been laughing at just the ridiculousness, which is that show.
Cool.
You have not lived a fulfilling life.
It's amazing.
We have just reached season 2, and it gets weirder from there.
Beautiful.
There was a character that was played by Vincent Price. For anyone who knows Vincent Price, he was a really, really famous like horror actor, like old-time horror. He played this character called Egghead, where he has a ball cap on, and he's obsessed with eggs. And just stealing all of Gotham's eggs. I'm like, what the hell is this guy?
He just wants their eggs? Really?
And then Liberace was in an episode. And it was, like, really, really fabulous Liberace.
Oh, I love it.
Little suits. And he also played his own twin brother that was supposed to be, like, a gangster, which was hysterical.
Liberace trying to be manly is a natural god.
It's so overplayed. But it's so great. And then the Joker, who painted over his mustache with white paint. Oh, jeez. It's so bad, it's good. The commissioner does not know how to run the police force. The police do not know what they're doing. There's an episode where Batman and Robin were gone for the beginning because they were camping. And they call the house and they're like, oh, we're looking for Batman. And Alfred's like, oh, they're not here. They hang up the phone. They're like, uh-oh, we have to solve this.
By ourselves.
They're like, oh my god, the police force can't even handle it.
So stupid.
It was so dumb.
They show up really late at the end of every fight after Batman has defeated the villain, and they're like, oh, we got lost, sir.
Yeah, we took a wrong turn on the way here. It's like, you are awesome. You are more than inept. I don't know. But they all got hired, so great show.
Training required to join the Gotham Police Department.
None at all. Oh, and the whole show is nothing but, like, those things that are tricked to try to get kids to, like, be good in school.
Yeah.
Anti-communism.
Yeah, anti-communism stuff. Oh, excuse me, officer, I don't understand why Batman gets to drive around the city really, really fast. It's like, oh, the only reason why Batman drives fast is because he's driving to, like really fast to get villains. And when he's not driving really fast, he's the safest driver here. And then there's just everyone starts clapping for no reason. Great show. Great show.
All right, anybody else have any other recommendations, updates?
No.
No. Our goal is to try to get episodes up on Mondays, correct?
Yeah, apparently that ain't working.
But obviously that's not happening right now, but I start school next week, so then we should be able to get into a schedule.
A real schedule, yes. We apologize.
3 weeks? This is the 3 weeks.
High five, 3 weeks.
Nice. 3 weeks of school.
Yeah, I haven't started yet. Quarter system.
Social media.
All right.
Find on Instagram now, because I'm back on that.
Woo!
Morons Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, at Morons Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Morons Are Trying to Talk It. You can almost find us on Twitch, because I'm still working on that one.
Still working on it? Yeah. How long have you been saying you've been working on that Twitch?
Four weeks.
Okay, yeah.
4 weeks.
It's all good. We'll get it eventually. Please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a review. That makes us feel good and helps people find us easier. Also, you can stream us on Podomatic if you would prefer that. So, this has been Caitlin in California.
Deal in Oregon.
Sam in Spokane. And Teresa in Spokane.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, guys, and you will hear us next week. Have a lovely week.
You'll hear us next week.
Love you guys.
All right. Peace.
Love. Potatoes.